Today's reading is from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 59. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, we have just sung that you have promised good to us. Your word, our hope secures. And so, Lord, we ask now that we would see the goodness of your promise, the hope found in your word. Help us to hear and run to Jesus, that we might find life as he sets people free. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're back in John's Gospel. We've been here the last few weeks. We've been at a festival in Jerusalem, the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles. It's a great celebration, a time of God's sustaining, of his provision, of his saving power, as he looked after their ancestors in the wilderness. God miraculously gave people water from a rock. He led them with a pillar of fire. And Jesus comes on the scene and says some pretty controversial things. He said last week, or a couple of weeks ago, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Or last week, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Last week we ended with those words in verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Jesus' popularity seems to come and go like the tide in the sea. It comes up and it's flowing and there's waves and all sorts of people riding high up on the beach. And then the next moment, it flows away. And he's left on his own. He doesn't shy away from saying some controversial things, does he? Says the most attractive things at times that draw people towards him, a snappy soundbite or a headline that makes you pick up the paper. But then you start to read and you think, hang on, what is this actually saying? He constantly challenges what people think of him. Maybe you wish that this short passage wasn't in your Bible. The Apostle John, who wrote it so that you might know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the King of the whole world, long promised, God's promised King, and he gives you life. It is a wonderful message, a profound message, but full of deep challenge. And these words are what Jesus says to those who believed in him in verse 30. The headline for you and me today is there in verse 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says this to those who believed in him. Yet, just across the page, verse 44, he goes on to say, you are of your father, the devil. Some of the most shocking things, words we probably wish Jesus had never said. They start off as Christians. They start off as people who come to Jesus. They look like the real deal. But the reality is far, far different. Jesus exposes them. He reveals their belief to be shallow. Because true believers are those who copy their Father. And true believers find Jesus' word is life. They think they're free. They think they're free to make their choices, to live their lives, to do what they want to do. But instead, Jesus shows them they have a very different father. Ultimately, his word has no place in their lives. They are enslaved and they need to be set free. We're going to dive in. We're going to look at verses 33 to 48 first, 47 first. True children copy their father. We know that, don't we? Traits get passed on through generations. Looks, body shapes, eye shape, or maybe a smile. Unfortunately for some of us, our hairline gets passed down. There are genetic markers that we inherit. Can you roll your tongue? Can you do that? That is because your parents can roll their tongues. If your index finger, your first finger, if that's shorter than your ring finger, your third finger, that is because your mother's father's index finger was shorter than their ring finger. Getting some sketchy looks here. I'm told that is true. But I'm not a biologist. I gave that up when I was 16. It's not just physical things that we pass on, though, is it? It's we inherit personality and quirks. I've got a strange sense of humour like my father. Gabby has had to be very long-suffering. You will too. There was a time when we inherited jobs from our families. My dad desperately trying to train me to be a mechanic. I'm afraid too many Saturday afternoons spent under a car hood in the cold was enough to put me off that, so I'm very happy to take my car to the garage, despite the bill. Have a look down at verse 33. They answered Jesus, "We are offspring of Abraham." They think they know their father. They're pretty clear about that, aren't they? But the problem is shown in the way that they fail to follow in Abraham's footsteps. They say Abraham is their dad. But if they were, they would carry his likeness, because true children copy their fathers. They carry on the family likeness. So Jesus says, verse 37, "I know you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me." Or verse 42, "If God were your father, you would love me." They claim to be children of Abraham. Physically, it is true. They are descended from Abraham. You can trace their family tree, and it goes back to this man, Abraham. They are Jewish. But their claim is spiritually contradicted by their behavior. They don't share the family likeness. Abraham was a guy who lived in Ur in the middle of Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, and God spoke to him one day and said, "Leave Ur, leave your hometown, and go to the place that I'll show you." And he gave Abraham some great promises. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and all the peoples of the world will be blessed, and I'll give you a land to live in. And when God spoke to him, Abraham trusted God. He accepted what God said. He received God's word, and he acted on it. But here, when God speaks, end of verse 37, Jesus says, "My word finds no place in you." It's not that there's a difference in the origin of the words. It was God who spoke the promises to Abraham. Here it is God in human form, Jesus speaking the words of his father. But when they hear it, they can't bear it. And that is not like shutting the door on a cold caller, a salesman who comes round trying to, we've had a couple of companies coming round trying to sell us broadband. It's not like all of those phone calls that you get trying to sell you insurance and all sorts. It's not like hanging up on them. Their rejection is so deep. Did you see what they try and do? Verse 37, "You seek to kill me." Verse 40, "You seek to kill me." At the end, verse 59, they take up stones to kill him. They aren't just saying, leave me alone. They're not saying, don't bother me anymore. They want him dead. It is unjust. One of their own, Nicodemus, who we've seen a couple of times in John's Gospel, he's already said that they are judging him. They're casting a verdict upon Jesus before they've bothered to listen to what he says. It's undeserved. Look down at verse 46. Jesus says, which one of you convicts me of sin? He's done nothing wrong. It is an act of pure evil, because here is God on earth, who has shown he is God, who has said he is God, who speaks the words of God, and here they come wanting to kill him. Jesus says, verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. True children copy their father. They don't do what Abraham does. Instead, Jesus says, you are doing exactly what your father does. And we get that sucker punch in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Now we've touched on this before, but let's be clear. Jesus isn't being anti-Semitic here. He knows he is a Jew. Although he is speaking to his fellow people, he isn't saying they're any worse than anyone else. His point is, we are all as bad as each other, left on our own. And here they are carrying their father's likeness, not in the family they thought they were in. Their father isn't who he thinks, who they think he is. You are of your father, the devil, says Jesus. Satan opposes God, and so his children oppose God. Satan lies, and so his children believe lies. He does what comes naturally to himself. He speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He speaks his mother tongue, his native language. Satan is a murderer. That's what happened in the beginning. Whether this is a reference to Adam and Eve and the way that Satan sought to bring them death, or if this is a reference to Cain and how Satan enticed Cain to murder his brother, the point remains, Satan is a murderer, has always been a murderer, and they show their true stripes. They show who their father is. They carry the family likeness, because they end up seeking to kill Jesus. Jesus, whose father is life, who offers life, who is a true son, who carries his father's likeness. Let's be clear, this is not saying sometimes they slip up and accidentally do something they shouldn't. Did you see verse 44? He says, your will is to do your father's desires. They want to do what Satan wants, and they don't even know it. They are deluded. In fact, Jesus says they are slaves. Trapped. Showing my age here, but do you remember Matrix, the movie? Neo needs to be woken up. Or the Truman Show. Truman Burbank, His whole life is a lie. Two movies, if you're lost. Don't worry. They think they're free. They think they're living their lives. But actually, they're trapped and enslaved, and they don't know it. They said at the beginning those exact things. Verse 33, we're offspring of Abraham. We know who our father is. And we've never been enslaved to anyone. To which, if you know anything about the history of the Jewish nation, you stop and think, what? Have you not heard about slavery in Egypt? Have you not heard of the way your people went into exile in Babylon? Have you not heard of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Greek desolation and the desecration in the temple? Have you not heard of the Roman Emperor who are ruling over you at this moment in time? We look on and we think it is blindingly obvious. How can they not see it? And the Jews here, they don't believe in spite of the truthfulness of Jesus' words. They don't believe because Jesus speaks the truth. They do what their father does. It comes naturally. The reason they don't believe in him has nothing to do with their understanding. It is not because they are free to make their own human choice. Jesus says they reject him because he speaks the truth, but they are slaves, subject to Satan's lies, held captive, enslaved by an evil master. Children copy their father. They copy their father, Jesus copies his father. So what Jesus has seen, he speaks. Satan lies, but Jesus tells the truth. Satan takes life, but Jesus gives life. Jesus' father is free, and so he sets people free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's not a political freedom. It's not the sort of freedom that our culture proclaims at the moment, not cutting off all ties and things that might hold you back. Imagine many of us have seen, although maybe not, Frozen, and at least heard Elsa sing. Not you, Elsa, but different Elsa. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Not that sort of freedom. Someone much wiser than me once told me, you never take down a fence until you know why it is there. You don't want to accidentally let out a raging bull. True freedom is a gift, says Jesus. It is not something you do. It is liberation from the realm of sin and death. It is life to the full. It is adoption. It is getting a new father, being brought from one family into a new family. It is walking in the light. It is coming and drinking without measure, without cost. It is feasting on Christ. It is belonging to Jesus. It is life with God, lived as the way, in the way God intended. True children copy their father. Secondly, verses 48 to 59, true children find Jesus' word is life. Sometimes we find life in the most unlikely places. If I told you that mold could save your life, you may well look at me with a puzzled question on your face, but we know it is true. Alexander Fleming, the Scottish scientist, discovered the world's first antibiotic. One day, some deadly bacteria he'd been working on had died, and he discovered a fungus growing in it, mold growing in it. that had killed this bacteria. A discovery that led to the development of penicillin, the world's first antibiotic that saves millions of lives. Life comes in unlikely places, and Jesus says, "Truly, truly," verse 51, "I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. If anyone accepts what I say about myself, whoever comes to me, whoever receives me, listens to me, believes in me," says Jesus, "will find life." And the people think he's mad, absolutely raving. They resort to racist slurs. "We're not right in saying you're a Samaritan." They name call. They say he has a demon. Verse 52, "We know now you have a demon." More lies as they carry on in their family likeness. They say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets." And of course they did. Of course they're right in a very real way. Abraham did die. Many, many years before, the prophets all died. But there is a fundamental flaw in their reasoning, because they should have known from the scriptures that God gives life. Because although Abraham died, verse 56, "Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day." Abraham longed for the day that the Messiah came. Abraham longed for the day that God would make all things new. Abraham longed for the day when God would provide the sacrifice that he needed to clean him, to give him life. He saw it, and he was glad. Because although Abraham died, he never saw the reality of death. See, death is just a picture. It is a picture of a far greater, horrific cutting off from God, cutting off from the source of light and life for all eternity. Abraham physically died, but he died rejoicing in the day that he would see Jesus. He died knowing the word of Jesus is life. How is that possible? Well, the answer lies verse 58. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is God, who alone gives life, who alone brings life out of nothing. Greater than the prophets, greater than Abraham, greater than Isaac and Jacob, greater than Moses, greater than John the Baptist. Not because he's a better man, but because he is God himself, whose word is freedom and life. It is the strongest claim to divinity in John's gospel. It's the name of God in the Old Testament. I am who I am, I will be who I will be. And the people here understand exactly what Jesus is saying. The people who we are told in verse 31 believed in Jesus. They show themselves to be false children of a false father, murderers just like their father, as they pick up stones to kill him. But Jesus hides himself because his hour has not yet come. They can't take his life from him because he lays it down. Because he didn't come to be stoned, but to die a cursed death on a wooden cross, counted amongst the guilty. Here is Jesus, the true Son, who doesn't seek his own glory, but the honor of his Father, who came to give life to those who are enslaved. See, these people here, they're so far away from being true children who copy their father. They're so far away from finding Jesus' word is life. You might say that they need to be born again, that they need a new start, that they need to be set free. And friends, wonder of wonders, that is exactly what Jesus came to do. God is in the business of doing just that. If the Son sets you free, says Jesus, you will be free indeed. Stands to reason, doesn't it? You can't be set free if you're not enslaved. If you're not trapped, you can't be released, you can't be liberated. Let's draw some of these things together before we close. Two things for us to reflect on. First of all, we cannot set ourselves free. Just like the people that Jesus speaks to here, by nature, we will always reject Jesus. It is not a popular thing to say, but Jesus says we are slaves to sin. We cannot save ourselves from it. If you don't believe me, maybe try this week to not think anything unkind. See how you get on. We love to think we're free. We love to think I do what I want to do. Now, we're told that all the time. But we can't stop ourselves from sinning. Sometimes people are very trapped in addiction, in gambling or pornography or alcohol or lying. Sometimes it is much less obvious. But it runs so deep in us. We don't need to teach our kids to sin, do we? That selfishness comes very naturally to us. A video popped up on my screen this week. Two babies, I think they're twins. Old enough to sit, but not quite crawling yet. One of them has got a dummy, and the other one doesn't. They're sat within arm's reach of each other. And you can imagine what happens. This is a pacifier, a dummy, something to suck on. And this brother sees the dummy in his brother's mouth and snatches it and gleefully starts sucking on it himself. And then brother starts crying, sees the dummy, snatches it back, starts sucking on it himself. Brother starts crying. And it goes back and forth, over and over. No one taught those babies to do that, I imagine. You can have the best start to life. Whoever you are, left on your own, we will always, by nature, be enslaved. These people that Jesus is speaking to are the religious elite. If anyone is going to be saved, it's these guys. They've got the pedigree. They're born in the right family. They've grown up going to do all the right things. They're at a religious festival, for crying out loud. They've got everything on paper, but they prove themselves to be utterly enslaved. In a different family, children of Satan, father of lies and a murderer. Try as we might, we can't set ourselves free. And our sin keeps us away from Jesus. We're not born neutral. We're not a blank slate waiting for a positive influence to make us better and better and better. Jesus says, everyone who commits a sin. I take that to be all of us, including me and you, everyone in this room, everyone in this world. Everyone who commits a sin is enslaved to sin. We cannot set ourselves free. If you've got friends who aren't Christians, ultimately, the reason they won't come to Jesus is because they can't. We cannot set ourselves free. It's not that they need a better argument. It's not that they need you to be a more faithful friend, a better witness. It's not that they need a better course, or that God uses all of those things. And we've got the flyers for the carol service. Do pray about who you can invite. We'll be sending those around with the weekly email. They'll be coming, we'll have physical copies next week. Do invite people to that. We pray that people will come and will hear all about Jesus. But it is not the music that they need to hear. It is not the words that will be spoken. They need to be set free. They are trapped. They cannot set themselves free. We need to know that. But we also need to know that Jesus does do that. He sets people free. If you are trusting in Jesus this morning, that is because he has done a miracle in your life. He has set you free. Once you were enslaved, and he has made you a child of his Father. He has changed your heart. It is the greatest miracle that he does. Makes us new, born again. Gives us a new Father. You didn't become a Christian because you are more insightful than other people. You didn't become a Christian because you're more perceptive than others. You didn't become a Christian because you're a better person than anyone else. You were entrapped, enslaved, unable to set you free, but God lavished his mercy on you. That is a precious gift. That is a wonderful thing. There is no greater news that we have. Maybe you came in this morning with a burden. And maybe there's something weighing on you heavily. Because of who he is, what he says goes. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As the Son of God, he has the right to set you free. He has the might to set you free. His voice speaks above any other. That means there is real assurance for you and me. We don't sort of wobble between two families. Not on the fence, not sure which side you're going to fall down. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. There's no ongoing custody battle over you between two parents. You only become a Christian if Jesus sets you free. And if he has set you free, no matter what anyone else might say to you, no matter what you might do, no matter what your present battle with sin might be, you will never be a slave again. It also means no matter how trapped someone else might be, no matter how enslaved you might think they are, no matter how far off you might think they aren't beyond the power of Jesus to save them. He is able to set anyone free. They don't become, if they don't become a Christian, that is not because he isn't strong enough to save them. Jesus truly sets his people free. Not partly saved, not partially set free. It is signed and sealed. We are just waiting to experience it fully. Penalty for sin has been paid. The power of sin is broken. And one day its presence will be taken away for all eternity. And what a glorious day that will be. Let's pray. Father, this morning we recognize that we can't set ourselves free, that our need for rescue is so very deep, and we are sorry. But we thank you that is why Jesus came. Father, we thank you that he doesn't tell us to do better or try harder, but the Son of God came to set us free. Please help us this week. Please humble us. Please help us to abide in Jesus' word, to keep it, to receive it, to know it leads to life, and know what it is to live as those who have been set free. This we ask for the honor of Jesus and in the power of his name. Amen.